Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball.
I hope he doesn't kill somebody.
Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle key popping that water bag.
Welcome into 11 Personnel. Nick Roush and Adam Luckett are here talking to you today, and I'm much happier. I'm not as happy as I sound. I'm trying to be upbeat, though, Luckett. I'm trying not to think about that Tennessee football game. And really, the thing that is, I feel like I've just got festering anger from this Tennessee loss, Luckett. The Pittsburgh Steelers won last night, so I was happy about that. But the officiating was so bad, it just reminded me that we have to watch college basketball officials starting tonight. And there's nobody worse at their job. I mean, I think really only DMV officials can be worse in their jobs than college basketball officials. They're terrible. They are the worst at what they do.
See, we're choosing violence to start the podcast today.
Oh,
trying
man.
To get upset on the officials. Yeah, I mean, it. The officials weren't the reason Kentucky lost, but it's just another data point that the SEC officiating has been awful. But then you go and you see some people I follow on Twitter saying that, you know, they're making Big Ten official jokes when the NFL thing's going on last night. Like, so it sounds like Big Ten officiating is awful. You know, we're going to watch two college basketball games tonight, and it's probably going to be pretty bad. And so, like, that's just an issue. But, man, like, there's some calls in that game that you can't miss. There's some stuff you can't do if you miss a call. It's shown on the Jumbotron. Everybody sees that you missed a call. You shouldn't be doubling down at that point.
That's the worst. And college basketball does it all the time where they're like, the coach is losing their mind. And they're like, all right, now I'm going to tee you up, too, after I did a terrible thing. It's like, what?
And at SEC Media Days, I'm going to ask McDade, like, why can't we review face mask?
It's such a simple.
It's not a judgment call. It's not PI.
Right.
You know, it's not holding.
Did he grab him in the face mask?
It's you touch a face mask. It's boom, automatic. Why did another ref just come and say, we need to call that right here? Why can't they huddle and then call that? But like, you know. There, when they see it on the Jumbotron, it's like, well, you know, we missed it. Like, I just don't understand why you can't do that. Like, I tweeted out a video, you know, the guy's knee was down. They didn't call it. Like, what's the replay official doing? He's supposed to watch every replay. Why wasn't that play stop? Like, what's going on? And then just a very poorly officiated game, I thought. Kentucky had a lot of issues, but, you know, the officiating is just bad. You cannot miss that face mask. You just can't.
Yeah.
And you can't especially, throw the flag on the coach.
Especially the coach on the quarterback.
If it's on the Jumbotron, the guy grabs the quarterback's face mask in a huge play of the game. Everyone sees it. You know, you can't – if the coach doesn't touch him, you can't throw that flag there. It's just, you know, like, what are we doing here? And we can get into why that made a big difference, because Kentucky lost 13 seconds and 5 yards. Even though they got the fourth down, they lost the timeout. They lost 5 yards. They lost 13 seconds, which is huge in that situation. Instead of having the ball at the Tennessee 33, with a buck five left. They had the ball at the Tennessee 38 with 52 seconds left.
That's significant, especially because field goal range is what?
Yes.
Six yards away.
As a Tennessee defense, you have to play different. If they're in field goal range, you have to guard the end zone at all costs. You cannot let a touchdown there. You have to think worst case scenario. If they're in field goal range, we got to give them yards. If you're at the 38, they're not in field goal range. You're not as much protecting the end zone. You're more playing up front. You're blitzing six. They're not blitzing six if they're down there at field goal, if you're in field goal range already. It just totally changes everything. And so it was a huge missed call. You just can't miss that call. But, I mean, we can get into other stuff, but it was just another bad case of officiating. I don't know what else to say. It was bad. Tennessee fans who dogged officials all week were saying, then they're like, oh, you got to call it, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Well, it did matter.
Well, the part that I think angers me the most is just that it's a quarterback, and you see teams bend over backwards to protect quarterbacks. Now, they didn't do that with Justin Fields. There was a couple of
I don't know what the umpire was looking at.
That's his job.
He's watching holding, and then the quarterback moves, and everybody's moving towards him. Like, what was he looking at?
I don't know. It was bad, and we're really setting the tone for anger. And I think the bad officiating is one thing. The thing that I think Mark Stoops would go to first when he sat down in his team meeting Monday afternoon is the tackling. In his words, leverage the damn ball. And to describe what he means by that, you need to have your head and an outside shoulder, your head and a shoulder between you and the end zone. And Kentucky had guys trying to tackle without using that very basic principle. It's like one of the first concepts you're taught in tackle football. You keep your outside shoulder free. You keep your head around. In worst case scenario, they have to work their way back inside to other guys who were there to tackle. The first play of the game, it was just tackling one-on-one. And you saw that a couple of times. You saw that on the touchdown run. A lot of tackling one-on-one mistakes by Kentucky 2 weeks in a row, stuff you hadn't seen much all year. And it might not have directly cost Kentucky the game, but that and the officiating, you combine those two things. The amount of explosive plays, they accounted for 80%. 10 plays accounted for 80% of their offense. If you take away two or three of those, does Tennessee score that much? I don't think so. Can't give
up 70-plus yard touchdowns.
You just can't, especially on back-to-back series. My God.
One was on lack of execution by the players, and I put the other one on the coaches.
Yeah, I did not like that call.
Bad personnel structure. But multiple things happen in this play. Devontae Robinson he beats his block, but he really should have went outside first. He kind of goes inside.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric Dort gets big boyed, gets turned all the way around where his butt is facing the Tennessee sideline. So he gets walled off. Tyrell Asian comes down and fits it, but he takes the easy way out. You have to tackle outside leg, left shoulder in that situation. Turn the guy inside. He doesn't. He just comes straight down, and he doesn't slow the guy down at all. If he slows him down at all,
Jones can recover.
Jones makes a tackle, and it's a 7-yard gain.
Yeah.
He just runs scot-free. In Tyrell Asian, we've seen him. This isn't the first time he's missed open field tackles this year. It's happened a lot. And so that cannot happen. And then the next possession, they don't hit a big play, but on that first or second down, Asian – thinks he has help over the top when there probably should have been a man, and he lets the guy run scot-free. It was a missed throw by Hooker. And then after a timeout, Tennessee comes out, what I believe was 10 personnel, goes 2x2, 4 wide. Kentucky is in nickel, and they should have been in dime. And it looked like they were in a 2-man type defense.
Mm-hmm.
There should have been some type of check there with a safety, probably to stay over the top of Square to give him safety help. Instead, he bites on the little bender route inside when Dort's running with a guy man coverage. And Hinton and Hooker played it perfect. His eyes took the safety to the inside route, and then moved outside. And it was just – you can't start a game like that. You just can't. Especially how last week went against Mississippi State. Low confidence maybe coming in, and you just take a big shrink to your confidence right there. And even then, Kentucky still had chances thanks to what the offense did throughout the game. But there was little moments in this game, like Tennessee made all like the little big plays that you needed to have happen.
Yeah, and I'll say that, you know, Kentucky was fortunate in some scenarios, but you would think that when Tennessee coughs it up three times that you're going to get more than one of them.
Seven fumbles, offenses have recovered five on Kentucky's defense.
Gosh, I mean, just the inopportunistic, especially when you're playing quarterbacks, eight incompletions in the last eight quarters. That stat is dumb. Running 99 plays, a school record. I mean, you had the freaking air raid at your school, and you just set a school record for plays. Yeah. You didn't punt the ball, and you lost. It is just – it's so hard to just comprehend all of this. Like, it's really difficult for the Big Blue Nation right now.
This was like a basketball game, okay, where you have the heavy inside presence. You dominate paint points. You shoot a very high percentage from two-point range. You don't have a lot of turnovers, but the other team hit 17 threes. And so you look up and you can never really build a lead because, you know, you start get stuff rolling and they hit three threes in a row. And then it's like you're up seven, now you're down two. And that's what that game was. You can't get bludgeoned in the explosive play battle, Nick. I mean, they had three plays over 40 yards, I believe. Kentucky hasn't had a 40-plus yard play since Florida.
Man.
Kentucky has six plays of 40-plus yards this season. Five were in the first 2 weeks. They're not getting any explosive haymakers. And in a game like that, like we saw against Lamar Jackson against 2016, Kentucky hit explosive haymakers in that game. Mm-hmm. And that's really the reason they won. Yeah. That and creating turnovers on defense.
You had Juice in the first play. You had Dorian Baker to take the lead late.
When you find yourself in this kind of Big 12 shootout, you have to land explosive playmakers. You can't just depend on 10, 11 play touchdown drives throughout the night. Kentucky consistently moved the football, but it's just hard to continue to score like that. They had nine scoring opportunities, ball inside the Tennessee 40 on 11 possessions, which is really good, but they just weren't great at finishing drive with touchdowns. And that's really kind of what the game was, that Tennessee just hit the big explosive haymakers and Kentucky just didn't have enough body blows to make it count. And that's just frustrating. That's why you lost the game. It's kind of why you lost the game in 2019 against Tennessee. If you go and look at that box score, Kentucky on time possession, on total yards, controlled the tenor of the game, but Tennessee hit a few big pass plays and scored touchdowns because of those two or three big pass plays. And that was the difference in that game. And it was kind of the same thing here. You know, you get in a game like this, you have to hit some chunks, some big chunks, and they just didn't. And it was just frustrating. And then some fourth downs don't go your way in the game. Gives Tennessee field position, and they score every time they get field position, score touchdowns. So it's
the one that Stoops
tough.
The one that really ate up at Stoops was the second to last fourth down they went for it, or I guess it'd be the third to last.
Well, what happened?
It's fourth and seven on the, you know, like 38-ish yard line. Like they're kind of in no man's land. It's a 3-point game.
38-35 or down 38-35 with the ball.
Yeah. Like do you punt it away and try to pin them, or do you sit? Like, and for me, like it, I was okay with Stoops' aggressiveness in this game. I generally like when he's been more aggressive, and he has been this year because I think he trusts his quarterback more. He's been more aggressive than normal. So I like that. I like what he's doing there, but the execution just wasn't there. Cause like you kind of got to steal possessions and do you feel that much better about Tennessee getting the ball at the 10 or the 40? I mean, they were pretty much scoring whenever.
Well,
you know?
Well, let's start with the middle eight. Okay. Kentucky scores a touchdown with right under 4 minutes left, go up 21-14. Tennessee gets the ball, short kickoff returns, it gets field position. But Kentucky gets a third and long after a holding call. They get in third and 18, they get in a deep zone, they let Velus Jones pick up 13 of those yards to create like a fourth and five.
Yep.
Okay.
Run the out route. Vito so Tisdale.
Too much on third down. So you run an out route. Tisdale just gets there a little too early. It's a bang bang play, pretty close. If he times it a half second late, it's an incompletion.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky gets a ball, maybe goes down, kicks a field goal or whatever. Either way, by the time Tennessee touches it the next time in the third quarter, they're either down 10 or more. So they're probably down two possessions. It changes the whole game. They go down and score. Kentucky gets it, stays aggressive. Some lack of execution here. He missed Rodriguez, who was wide open. He misses one. He throws it behind Wandell.
Who could have caught it?
And Wandell. Yeah, Wandell should have caught the fourth down.
Yeah. So those are both catches that Wandell has made, too.
And then Tennessee makes, you know, Cedric Tillman makes a crazy good catch on the sideline. They kick a field goal to go up 20. So that totally swung the game.
Oh, you forgot about the clock operator, too. The slow clock with 5 seconds.
Yeah, but I still think it was probably – it should have been maybe one – I still think he should have got it off. Like, they'd probably get it off. So, anyway, Snoops goes aggressive there, but I don't mind him doing that because middle eight is so important. And if you can score – if you score there, at the game – like, essentially the game's over, especially if Kentucky comes out and scores a touchdown again to begin the second half. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could have been up – you literally could have been 21-14. You could have made it 28-14 if you hit Rodriguez down the middle of the field – and then you score again. It could have been 35-14 before Tennessee touched the ball again. Like, it was that close to that happening. And so I don't blame him for that because games are won and lost in that middle eight period. So they come back, and then the fourth quarter, it's similar to what Tennessee had. There at the end of the second half, it's third and very long. Kentucky was in a position, I thought, up, down, only down three, beginning of the fourth quarter, you got a chance to play field position here. Really, it would have been the only time that it made sense to play field position. They throw that check down to Wandell, and he gets them the yards to make them go for it. I would have rather seen them just run a deep, maybe go a deep shot, jump ball or something, and throw it down the field, maybe try to get a PI, and then punt it there. I think they got a little – I think Snoops went to Cohen and said, get some here. We're going for it on fourth. I think that was a mistake because it gave Tennessee field position and they scored every time they had field position. We never really saw them since the first possession of the game had to be pinned back and go on a drive. And in that portion of the game, I think they should have punted. That was the one, I think, big mistake he made. But even then, with all that, they still almost had a chance to come back and win the game. Levis took some bad sacks in this game. At inopportune times, a couple of them came on that drive up down 38-35. And then on the last drive, Tennessee started bringing six. As a quarterback, you got to get that ball out hot. They're bringing six, covering man. Somebody's got to be, you know,
somebody's got to, you don't need to be running 12 yards down the field. Just burn a little slant, get across, run a drag behind that blitz. Just something simple, something easy, something they haven't done a lot of.
And it's also a time if you got a big X receiver, that's the back shoulder fade throw. And that's something they don't have on the roster right now. And we've talked about it. If teams are going to play you like that, man, throw the back shoulder, get off and catch it. And if it's a good throw and he gets off and the guy grabs him, it's a PI and it's a penalty. They don't have that on the roster right now. And that's a situation where that's what you would need to go to at that point. And that's what Wandell, he's just little. He can't really do that kind of stuff.
The one thing that I hope isn't a byproduct of this game is Stoops. Like, I hope he doesn't pump the grapes on playing. Did I say pump the grapes? Pump the brakes on being aggressive. Because that's something we – how many times have you been like, well, I wish Stoops would have tried to score some points there.
Right, he's done it 2 weeks in a row. I worry about them, like.
But they've done it. They haven't executed it 2 weeks in a row too. Yet you were in scoring opportunity. You had a chance there against Mississippi State. You throw an interception, and then this time around, you can't convert in no man's land when you have, I mean, three great opportunities to move the sticks. Yeah.
As good as the offense played, it was just a game felt like of missed opportunities. It felt like they could have scored every time they had the ball. You know, you had a pick six and you had a couple turnover on downs. It felt like Tennessee really didn't have an answer for them all night. And they got desperate just blitzing at the end. And, you know,
you didn't have an answer for it. You got to have an answer for it. Like,
your quarterback's got to see that and he's got to get to his read. And, you know, that's, I think a lot of that's on just Levis never really being in that situation, not having a lot of experience there late in the game. I think, you know, when we play Tennessee next year, or when Kentucky plays Tennessee next year, And if they try to do that, he's going to be able to pick them apart because he's going to – he's seen it. He's going to grow from it. But right now, he just – you know, it was just disappointing. And, like, it just seemed like all the little plays that needed to win the game, like Tennessee just made all of them. And
it hurts. It hurts that, you know, when you're in a shootout, it's kind of like if you're betting unders and you get a defensive touchdown, like, it's just – you're kind of screwed. Same thing with a shootout. You get a defensive touchdown and – the worst part was that it was a mirror image of Bossman Fats' pick six last year. We kind of baited him into throwing it underneath. He jumps the route. And, of course, it's the guy who was talking trash during the week, Alante Taylor. Come on. Like, we can't – that guy was talking smack all week. You got to make him pay. And instead, he talked his talk, and then, sadly, he walked his walk.
That was, I think, the bye week came in there for Tennessee. That was advanced scouting. They knew they brought a nickel and a safety off of the boundary. They knew Levis was going to go to where it wasn't. And they knew as soon as they had Wandell over there, that's exactly where they were going to go. He was going to go to him quick on a little hitch or a little out. And Taylor just, you know, squatted on it. I mean, that was, you just got to tip your hat to Tennessee, I think. That was an advanced scouting. That was a bye week play to me.
Man, all of this, too, we I felt like the Big Blue Nation endured this a year ago at the Ole Miss game, and it was very similar, except a little bit more scoring. You had the missed kick in overtime. And this one is also to Tennessee, which you can rattle off the heartbreaking losses. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. And even though Stoops has won more against Tennessee than almost every coach at the University of Kentucky – still only two wins, and it's against Tennessee teams that you felt like you had the better team the entire time. It was that stat you tweeted out last week, Luckett, where record since 2016, Kentucky has 11 more wins, but they're losing in the series since then. You know, like that's what's really a tough pill to swallow, because I think if we take a step back, this Kentucky football team is kind of what we expected at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
I mean, it's coming to form, but we raised our expectations as other teams began to falter and as Kentucky played better.
Everywhere but the pass defense. The pass defense has just been god-awful. But
yeah. But we knew that was going to be kind of the weak point. That and that three-tech defensive line spot, you finally get that guy, and then Ox goes down with the season-ending injury. Obviously, injuries tell a part in this story of this team. But it still just stinks that you're losing to a ho-hum Josh Heupel team in his first year, and that's going to take you out for a New Year's Six game.
Well, I want to say this. Like, they played Ole Miss in Tennessee these last 2 years, and you're talking about. But I'm going to tell you, if Lane Kiffin or Josh Heupel has a top three quarterback in the SEC, it's going to be tough to beat them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be the case every year. They're not going to have one of the best quarterbacks in the league every season. So let's pump the brakes on the overreactions. Josh Heupel kind of walked ass backwards in the Hendon Hooker. So, you know, and Corral
explain
was
that.
There.
Explain that.
Because Hendon Hooker was added by Jeremy Pruitt and his staff before they got fired.
So essentially.
Heupel comes in and adds Joe Milton from the portal, handpicks Joe Milton. Joe Milton's his starting quarterback. If Josh Heupel was hired 5 weeks earlier, Tennessee is playing Hendon Hooker or Harrison Bailey, who just entered the transfer portal. Instead, Hooker gets a chance, steps in, and has become
– you mean Joe Milton or Harrison Bailey? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hooker has stepped in and become a top 10 quarterback in college football this season.
Yeah. Top,
the numbers
top,
are ridiculous.
Top four in efficiency, which so is Stetson Bennett, and then
like,
Will Rogers.
With Heupel scheme, Nick, you should not be completing over 62% of your passes. Like, if you're getting anything above that, because a lot of it is deep shots and it's not easy throws. Hendon Hooker's completing 67% of his passes. Every deep shot seems on tape is almost 90% of them are pretty much on target. He's giving them a QB run element that is really hard to stop, especially when you spread the field like that. So, like, you know, Tennessee is probably they're you know you are the old saying you are what your record is, but with Hooker in the game they're a top 20 team. They just are. I mean, I hate to say it, but he's just been awesome. And everything is clicking for them right now on offense. And so they're going to go 7-5, but it's going to be a team like we're going to have to hear, because the computers are really going to love them, and they're going to be like this walking hotshot all offseason. But a lot of this is due to having a really good quarterback. I mean, newsflash, having a good quarterback really changes things for you. You know, it's kind of important.
I think Kentucky fans know all too well about that.
So let's see. I think I come away actually kind of upbeat in these matchups, because Kentucky has been able to score and keep pace with these teams in these games. These games have turned into shootouts. They've been able to score and keep pace. The defenses will adjust to this, Nick. Gus Malzahn did this in a different way 6 years ago. He was, you know, the talk of the town.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, teams figured it out. You're not used to this because no one goes at really this speed. Well, now you've seen it game speed. You're going to be able to practice it better. Like, Kentucky's going to adjust to this, and they're not going to face a top three quarterback at Ole Miss and Tennessee every season in the league, in my opinion. It's just not sustainable.
But they did hit them at an inopportune moment where you're 6-0, you're on top of the world, and just the nature of football and losing streaks in general, like it, everything feels so much worse when you haven't won a game in a month. You know,
yeah.
It just does. It's a sinking feeling knowing what could have been. I'm never going to apologize for dreaming big and doing college football playoff scenarios at 6-0. Why would I? That's what makes this what we do fun. So it makes this sport fun. We can still talk about winning out because you are going to be favored in your final three games. Now, you're a 19-point favorite at Vandy. It's going to be 30 or something against New Mexico State. And I don't know, probably 3.5 against Louisville, a Louisville team that, at least in Kentucky's case, they aren't getting outscored by 20 points in the fourth quarter and just blowing games at home. So,
yeah, well, Nick, you're a prisoner of your schedule in college football. Okay.
Yep. You are who you play. You play the teams in front of you. That's what they always say.
Kentucky has 9 locked games every year. So you have to play those 9 teams, SEC plus Louisville, and then you get 3 non-conference to do whatever the heck you want with. Okay, so Kentucky, unfortunately, had to play the best 3 quarterbacks on their schedule in consecutive weeks. You look at these numbers these guys put. Stetson Bennett leads Power 5 quarterbacks in yards per attempt. Like, you can say what you want about Stetson Bennett, but they're hitting big plays and they're slaughtering teams with big plays. He's been really good. Okay, he leads the SEC in passing success rate. Okay, go to Will Rogers. Leads the country in completion percentage. Ranks 3rd nationally in passing yards per game. You know, it's top 4 in the SEC in passing success rate. He has a big game against Kentucky. Hendon Hooker, like we just talked about, 21 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. 3rd in the SEC in passing success rate. What's the top 10 quarterback in college football this season?
Crazy, crazy numbers. I think 4th in just overall QB rating.
Yeah, and then plus about 500 yards rushing. So you're just like, they just had to play the 3 toughest guys passing offenses in a row. It's just what happened. They just had to play them in a row, and they're riding the struggle bus as it's happening, and they got slaughtered in these matchups. Each quarterback exceeded season averages when playing Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, that's obviously not good, but, like,
some of it's them, those guys being hot at the right time and Kentucky struggling.
Confidence streaking.
Yeah.
Now, we can get into Kentucky's personnel and why this is happening. And a lot of it is on themselves and the roster construction for letting them get into this type of situation. But you also need to recognize that the schedule did not help them at all with this. They went back to back, and they just got sliced up. There was tape on them. These coaches knew where to attack them.
It's kind of funny, too, because we opened the year talking about how great the schedule set up, and then you kind of
– predicted the best 3 quarterbacks they would have played would have been Georgia, Mississippi State, Tennessee. No one could have predicted that, but you look up, and that's just what it is. You cannot deny that. You looked in the national ranks, and you cannot say, well, they didn't play a good quarterback.
I would say that Louisville fans would try to make a case for Malik Cunningham, but he doesn't beat you in the way that those guys beat you.
He has a lower passing success rate than Will Levis. where he beaches with his legs.
Yeah, yeah. He's and a good gamer. Don't get me wrong. But
guess what Kentucky wants you to do, though? Like, they want you to run the football.
Yeah.
Please. I think they'll be very happy if they see a quarterback start running it 20 times. They will take that over.
I think they would take that now. Hendon Hooker running down the middle of the field, that was tough because
the they were space, all passing plays, though. They were none of them were QB design runs.
Man, and he's so damn big. He's not like Sam Howell big. I didn't realize until we were watching that weight game and you and I were going head-to-head, Sam Howell is like a damn fullback back there. He's so huge. He is an enormous human. And, my God, I left the back door open for a push at least. So, you know, I can't be too mad. I also did the thing like it where I forgot that I had bet it previously. So, I bet it at 2.5 and at 3. So, I lost one, pushed on another. But pushing does nothing in the home field picks of the week.
And I want to talk about really three things with this defense. Number one, the front seven was supposed to be the strength of the team. They're out the most important player on the defense, per Brad White, Marquand McCall. They're out their best havoc creator in Jordan Wright.
Yep.
Octavius Oxendine was by far the best player at his position.
Yeah. And maybe your most promising young talent, too. Like, he was really – did he have 2 sacks in his last game before he got hurt?
Yeah. He was really starting to pop a little bit. And so what that's done, Nick, like if I would have told you on August 12th, you're playing Tennessee, Kentucky 6-2, if they went out, they got a chance to go to the Sugar Bowl. But KD McDaniel, Isaiah Gibson are going to be playing major snaps.
Yeah, man.
You would have thought, well, that scares – I would say, well, that scares me.
Yeah. Gibson played a lot. He played a lot, and he has not played a lot. At all this year.
And not only that, Jalen Geiger, too, would play the majority snaps at one of the safety spots.
Yeah, that would worry the hell out of me.
So, like, you just, you know, and Geiger's wasn't from injury. That was just because Agent was just having a rough game.
He's seen ghosts out there.
But they're just playing guys that really just shouldn't be playing at the moment. I mean, I don't know what else to say other than that. Like, I think it's going to help them. Like, I thought McDaniel did some good things. He beat K Mays a few times on a straight speed rush. And while that was good, all I could think was, well, if they had Wright.
Yeah, it's a sack.
It was probably a sack.
Yeah.
And so, like, you cannot tell the story of the 2021 Kentucky football team without talking about the injury bug. And then on offense, there's also issues. You lost Keaton Upshaw, lost Eli Cox.
Yeah.
Josh Ali was out for a couple games. Darren Kennard got a – he banged up knee. He's banged up again. Darren Rosenthal got hurt, had to leave a game. He's pretty banged up, you know. And then secondly, on defense, the bend but don't break strategy. I love the strategy. I think it's a great strategy. But if you don't get turnovers, it's, you know, it's just magnified. And that's what's happened here with this defense.
Created
any turnovers.
None.
You know, Kentucky has never ranked worse than 8th outside of Mark Stoops' first year, which really shouldn't count because it was a total year zero in the SEC in total takeaways. They're on pace to finish 14th. Even if they got a hot, it would probably be harder to – finishing 11th. So they're having a historically bad year just forcing turnovers.
It's the
an unfortunate time.
It really is. I know Phil Steele always talks about the like turnover regression teams that have a big pendulum year.
Yeah.
I mean, but this is like the ultimate regression.
Going they led the league in takeaways last year, right?
Yeah. To just dead last. I mean, what a swing. What a swing. Now, I will say, you definitely – like, I remember Freddie really hitting it home at the beginning of the year, too. You had to replace 6 starters on defense, and a lot of those guys were draft picks. I think all of them except for one were draft picks. Kentucky did a good job finding replacements for those guys, but finding replacements for those guys once they get hurt, that's tough. And you also notice – how many snaps was Jaquez Jones and DeAndre Square? How many have they been playing? Has any – Trevin Wallace is getting some run, but
– that's it.
When was the last time you saw Jared Casey on the football field?
Been a long time.
Yeah.
Martez Thrower was playing over him down in Mississippi State.
Yeah. I mean, like, guys that you expected to be able to give you something, you haven't been able to rely on much, and it's going to wear them thin. You know, it's just going to wear them thin. There's no way around.
It's just like Edge, man. You're just very thin at Edge. The scholarship numbers are bad. You were leaning on Katie McDaniel. He played against Missouri, had some bad moments, and we didn't see him until Mississippi State. And now he was playing big snaps against Tennessee. And then, like, you know, it's tough. You know, when you have that, like you said, Kentucky is not like Georgia, you know. It's not Alabama. Even Alabama, Nick Saban said a few years ago when their defense started really stinking, I think it was 2019 when they lost three games, he was like, you know, you all act like I just can go all back in my house and pick another five-star off a tree. Like, you know, like eventually that's going to have an effect on your team if you keep
catches bodies up with you. Yeah.
But the thing with Kentucky, it seems like they have a chance to get these guys back. Like, it sounds like McCall's going to be back soon. If it's just like a bad ankle sprain, he should be back possibly soon. You know, so you got a chance to get some guys back. So that's
do you need them back before Louisville?
Yeah, I would want you know, if I'm face crazy run QB, I want best guys in the front seven to be able to play.
Yeah, fair enough.
If some of these guys are having to run a Cunningham down, it's going to become a first one to 31 is going to win the game.
But that's no. Do you need them back like before? Like, does Vandy do anything where you're like, all right, this could be concerning if they're not back by Saturday?
There's a lot of signs in this Vandy that wants to scare you. Cold at night.
Boring stadium.
After a rivalry game, no one's going to be there. It's a bring your own juice game. Like, if you don't have juice on the sideline, it's going to be tough. But then you look at some of these numbers for Vanderbilt, and Nick, they're just awful, especially offensively. You know, they have they're all, both quarterbacks have really struggled. Mike Wright, who's starting now, has a run element. So that's going to be a little scary. But the passing numbers are god-awful. Completion percentage low. Combined passing success rate against Power 5 teams is like 25%. So one out of four passes is only doing is like staying ahead of the sticks. So they're getting behind the sticks a lot. Run game is bad. They've already lost their starting running back. Offensive line is bad. Like, it should be a get right game for the defense. Now, for Kentucky on offense, the biggest issue is turnovers. Vandy has forced some turnovers this year, and that's scary. And then they will load the box and try to stop the runs. And we saw what happened against Chattanooga. When Kentucky came out not ready to run the football, if they kind of get big boyed at the line of scrimmage and aren't ready to play physically, you know, they could be a game. But I think Vandy is so bad that it should not matter. But you know, you got to play the games. But if Will Levis plays like he played last week, you know, there were some turnover worthy throws, and he's taking sacks he doesn't need to be taking. But if he plays the way he's going to play, it should be fine. But
There were two things Kentucky did that I think really helped Will Levis get to good Will Levis. And that one is let him run, let him take some hits. I just think he feels more comfortable when he does get up and down the field a little bit. He can play a little bit more aggressive. And then two, I think what really helped as well is the first deep shot they took, instead of, you know, let's try to rip it 30 yards between a couple safeties, we're going to have Wandale settle down about 20 yards down the field and hit the dig route.
Let's get him in rhythm before we start taking shots.
Yeah. Kind of I really like that. And I think some of that is Liam figuring out his quarterback. He always talks about how he wants to be the caddy. And I think he's figured out, like, okay, I know that this is your 7-iron distance, but you swing that club like shit. We're not going to do that one. We're going to do this one. I think that he's starting to – that their relationship is improving. I think they figured one another out. And now I think really the biggest piece missing from this offense, you alluded to it earlier, is big plays from the running backs. I mean, those guys, even though the running game was much improved, you had a 100-yard game from Chris Rodriguez – I still don't understand some of the substituting between him and Smoke. And, like, you just – Smoke, make a dude miss, buddy. Like, you're there to provide that juice. A.J. Rose last year, we completely undervalued A.J. Rose as a running back last year. his explosive play, as frustrating as he could be at times, and he was maybe getting too many carries and using the wrong situations, he made some big, big plays that you have not seen whatsoever at all from this running game that they got to get.
Yeah, it's my same thought on Kavasse Smoke. Your RB2 at behind Rodriguez has got to be a big play creator. Smoke that's disappeared since his freshman year. He just hadn't have it. I mean, we haven't seen it.
As Stoops said, he got dinged up a little. He gets dinged up. Like, I mean,
you know, I would like to see more McClain personally, but you know, he's been out for six games, missed a ton of practice. He got hurt. So, you know, maybe this is a week we see more of him, but
he was so close to breaking that one on the final drive. So close.
Yeah. So I just, you know, we'll see. Like, there's some personnel decisions that could be made. You lose three in a row. Some changes could be happening. But Kentucky at cornerback, y'all, like, they just, like, just look at the roster. They just don't have the guys. They had six scholarship cornerbacks. One, Maxwell Hairston, never showed up on campus.
Yeah, or he was here on campus and was told to go home quickly.
The other true freshman, Adrian Huey, is the project of all projects, it looks like.
Taken by a former assistant too, like the coach
that assistant anymore. leaves you in June.
Yeah,
so your new assistant coach arrives in the summer, doesn't get spring ball to get his known guys work. His first time being in the power five,
mm-hmm.
working for an SEC team, seeing these new offenses and trying to learn his personnel and all of that, and then you combine that with, like, you're dependent on Cedric Dort, redshirt senior, to really have kind of a career year. He had moments the last two seasons. He did. And he's been bad this year. I mean, there's no real getting around it. He's taking a step back when you really need to take, like, two jumps forward. You're hoping Carrington Valentine would take a big jump. I think he's taking a step forward, but not as big as you were hoping. Like, there's still – I would still buy Carrington Valentine's stock, but he looks like more of a third corner than a starting corner right now.
Yeah, and, you know, I also think, too, that, like, Carrington is a guy who picked up the position, I think, as a high school junior. So he's in year four of the position. Like, I think there's a lot of room to grow. He's just been asked to do a lot early on. And I don't know if he is like, Chris Westry's still in the NFL. You could do that with that kind of guy who has that framework, at least, that he can lean back on, where he's 6'4". And well, has that to go back on.
At that boundary quarter position, you want big guys. I'm wondering if Carrington is just playing out position, if he would be better playing at the field.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he could be, but they just don't, you know, they don't have any other options.
He's playing
like
every
said.
Snap. He's not going off the field at boundary corner. He's playing every snap this season.
What's funny, too, though, is that when asked about, like, hey, don't you wish you had some of those corners that hit the portal? Stoops was like, I told him to go. I recommended them leave. So, like, it's in a weird spot, but I do think you're going to see, like, we knew that Kentucky in the past offseason, they were going to go after receivers in the portal, and they might have to go after a linebacker, depending on how things went. Yeah. They're going to go after some corners in the portal.
I think it's important to note, like, Devonshire is barely playing at Pitt.
Yeah. Jamari Brown's been decent at Purdue.
He's
but
been solid.
But you played but Brown for, like, 3 years.
He did not really work in Kentucky scheme. Like, that was probably – they both probably needed a change of scenery.
Yeah.
So I don't really blame them for losing those guys, but they should have added someone from the portal.
Right, right.
They should have not walked into this season with what they had. They only got three guys. Andrew Phillips, he didn't know the fraternity fight was going to happen. But once it did happen and he was out – you probably should have went and added someone, you know, and then you look at the recruiting results. The recruiting results just haven't been good. They don't have a single top 500 recruit in the cornerback room right now, former top 500 recruit. They got one junior college guy and then a bunch of mid to low three stars. You know, they're going to add two this next class with Andre Stewart and Alex Safari, but they don't have any right now. And that's just being shown. And then the front seven issues kind of just highlight the problems they're having. And then, you know, now they're having to play more man. And, like, people that complained about soft, Kentucky played a lot of man against Georgia and Tennessee. And all of you all just saw what happened. So Now you want to know why they don't play man? I think you just found out why.
That poor DeAndre Square. You know what it reminded me of was that when Cash was it against Florida when he was just turning, trying to keep up with the running back, and you're like, oh, buddy, you just can't. Like,
yeah, it was like the Ohio State Alabama game when Ohio State was in cover three and they had the drop linebacker and they just ran the deep cross with Devontae Smith and Tough Borland was just trying
just
hardest and it just yeah.
Whew, man, it was really tough.
But that should have. I mean, I don't. That was a bad person. Like Kentucky. I firmly think against these teams, you have to dare them to run the football almost. Like, it's important to be good on the front. If you can get three linemen to hold five blockers, it would be, you know, if you could demand two double teams up front, that's what everyone wants. But I firmly believe, like, I would play almost a dime almost every snap, especially on passing downs. Like, flood the field with defenders because they want to space you out so much. So, flood the back end with defenders. And then do some creative blitz stuff off of that, and then make them run the ball up the middle. Like, come on.
The problem with that though is then you're putting more defensive backs on the field, and admittedly, like we just spent time talking about how that's not your
you need
position.
The,
so like it's yeah, it's tough. You need
to tackle better, but like that's what I'm saying. Like I just don't know. I think my philosophy would be like I'm going to dare you to run it 50 times in this game.
Yeah, well,
because I think you're going to get greedy. And you're going to, and then I'm going to get you in a 3rd and 9. And then that's when I'm going to get off the field. That's what I just think Kentucky tried to play. They tried to come out and base. And I just don't think that's what you do in this game.
No.
But that's just my opinion. I don't know, you know, maybe someone who knows more about football could explain why you wouldn't do that. But that just seems like would be the move against these offenses.
You know what I'll do? I'll explain it to you like what you should do right after this. You know, the Kentucky pass defense, it has its problems. We'll try to find some solutions. But you know what? Like, it's not as bad as the problems that Todd Grantham had on Saturday. And, whew! If you all have not seen this yet, I put it on KentuckySportsRadio.com. It was in the Tuesday morning post on KSR Today. It's also at GamecockFB on Twitter. South Carolina beat the hell out of Florida. I think it was 40-10 at one point. I don't know what the final was.
That was the most surprising, I think, SEC result of the season.
Yeah, I can't.
It's either that or Mississippi State winning at A&M. Those were the two that really shocked me.
The South Carolina one, but just because you can't – how does that team score 40 points in any football game, you know? And they did it against – a guy who has been one of the more maligned defense coordinators in the country. They're reeling at the time. Florida's quarterback, Anthony Richardson, he's unable to play because he hurt his knee doing a TikTok dance. Did you see the video he tweeted out too? Like I love that Richardson's like, here's the dance I was trying to do. This is how you hurt your knee. And my knees buckled just watching that video. But what really added the insult to injury is after they get their teeth kicked in, South Carolina tweets out a video where says all the things Josh Van could have done before the Florida defenders caught up to him because he was wide open. He caught a pass in the back of the end zone where there wasn't anybody around him within 25 yards. And it's just a minute. Like he's getting on FaceTime. He's trying to bow an arrow out. I mean, it is probably the worst that anybody has ever been dragged online that I can ever remember in sports from a direct official account. This is one thing if like a player tries to roast somebody or, you know, a media member roast Lamar Jackson. It's another thing when you make a video the day after and you just completely annihilate them. Oh, it really poured salt on the wound after Mullen had to fire Grantham Sunday afternoon.
That's one kind of season they're having there in Gainesville. In all of college football seasons, that's one of them.
I mean,
from the start of that LSU game last year until now. So we're going on, you know, 11 months.
Yeah.
Man.
Actually, was that the last game?
That game was in December.
Okay.
It was like the first week of December or something. Yeah. That's just been. You know, they played Alabama twice, take them to the brink both times, you know. get credit for losing close twice.
Yeah.
And then it's just been a bunch of losses around that.
I mean,
and then just Dan being Dan, and you know, the off, you know, kind of the off season and whatnot.
The thing was too, like, it is, you kind of could see it coming with all of their button heads over contracts and stuff, but you almost like, I don't blame Strickland, because Ford was great last year. You know, I mean, you lost all those guys. I mean, that was the problem, though. You know, like,
yeah, you also have to realize, like, what Florida was the 8 years before Mullen got there, too. These were the seasons they had all the time.
Yeah.
What they're going through right now. You fire Grant, like, those firings, that kind of smells like he's getting another year. He's going to get a chance to fix it. There's a lot of Charlie Strong rumblings that he's going to be the next defensive coordinator.
Oh, bring it back. Hey, you know what? Let's get Urban fired by Jacksonville and let him be a quality control guy. Get all those assholes in there.
The offensive line coach, John Hevesy, worked with Urban at Bowling Green in Utah. He started working with Dan Mullen at Utah. They went to Florida together, and he followed Mullen to Mississippi State. I mean, he's been with Dan Mullen for 20-something years.
Man.
So, like, that's a pretty close relationship, you know. You know, the offensive line coach and the offensive coordinator, that's got to be a really good relationship.
Was that the other guy you fired?
Yeah, John, his offensive line coach. So yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's just weird. The thing with Mullen is, it's seeming like he doesn't have, you know, not a lot of people probably want to work for him. You know, but then I look back at Mississippi State, and he's hired good defensive coordinators. Like, he had Manny Diaz, Jeff Collins,
yeah,
Grantham, who had a good reputation. Like, Diaz and Collins both went on to be, you know, they're Power Five head coaches in the ACC right now.
Yeah.
But he also hired Peter Sermon, who bombed. And then we saw the whole Louisville Mississippi State swap.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, well, I mean, we'll see. But this is like a huge hire. But, you know, if it's strong, he's just going to have to hire who's ever on the Urban tree, because that seems like maybe, you know, a limited pool, which would, you know, like, Strong hasn't been a defensive coordinator, Nick, in over a decade. Usually guys that come back, that doesn't work.
You know, I think the jury's still out on Odom. He's the one I can think of most recently. But I will say, too, his absence wasn't as long. It was only four or 5 years. Yeah, it wasn't that long. But
Strong, I mean, you're talking when he took the Louisville job 2010. 2009 was his last year as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
it'll be 2022 next year.
That's a long time. Offenses have changed quite a bit since then.
And his defenses at Texas and USF stunk.
Yeah, they were good at Louisville. That was – hell, they were too good. They didn't have good enough offense.
Yeah.
So take them off there.
So, yeah, it's just going to be interesting to see what Mullen does. But that just shows you college football, man. It's crazy. Things can change so fast. And that's why it's, you know, it's easy to overreact. But, like, for Kentucky as a program, like, stacking these years together – that's more important than, you know, having a flash in the pan. Why I say, like, with the Heupel thing, people just, you know, we're going to have to hear about all offseason. It sucks losing to Tennessee, but do not overreact. They walked ass backwards into a good quarterback.
Yeah, and I think, like, this was my season prediction. I'm not one who wants to pat myself on the back for getting that right, but this is – it always felt like an 8-4, 9-3 team, you know, like, just from the talent we had.
It sucks because Kentucky had a chance to go to the Sugar Bowl, and that would have been a huge thing for the program, and it would have been awesome. You had a great this season. But this season was always about offense. It was always about fixing offense, finding a quarterback that allow you to fix your recruiting issues on that side of the ball. Still time to be determined. There have been ups and downs. But one of the main reasons I judge offensive coordinators is the opening script. Like, if you can open script and score, you're going to be a good play caller. You're going to learn in game how to adjust better, because that is the hardest to do. But if you can't script out plays and score, you're going to be like, you just got to be hard for you to last. What we've seen Cohen in this opening script, he's every game they come out and they've scored in the first or second possession outside of Georgia. Yep.
Whoa. Of Georgia. Luckett's over there. We're choosing violence today, Luckett. That's for damn sure.
We are. So, like, that's – he's going to be fine. But
Yeah, it's that opportunity that you let slip away. You don't get a whole lot of them. But hell, who knows? You could get another one next year. The schedule, when we talked about this at the beginning of the year, you had to add that caveat when discussing schedules. Like, you don't know what these teams are going to end up doing. You did not anticipate that when you beat Florida that they weren't going to win another football game. Which have they? I think they beat Missouri maybe since. Yeah. I mean, like, you just don't know what these teams are going to be. There's a lot to do. So, this feels like a 9-3 Kentucky team that is going to finish ranked around 23rd and go play in the Outback Bowl. We'll eat some Bloomin' Onions.
They have to get. Now it's all about winning these next two games, just winning them is important. But now it's all about getting healthy and going and beating Louisville. I think Louisville could lose this weekend to Syracuse. And who knows? They could go on the tank after that another tough loss in a game they probably should have won.
This is Stoops' chance, potentially. Yeah. Right. I don't have their schedule in front of me. But
that's what season. If you go and do that, you're going to keep your recruiting. It's going to be a great recruiting class. Mm-hmm. You're going to Now, Levis, I've talked back and forth, it's been a roller coaster. If he can stack some games here to end the season, then you're really going to have something to believe in going into next year, and that's going to be a big selling point in recruiting, especially if you can go and get Will Levis drafted. So there's good things happening. It just sucks that it's going to feel like you left a lot of meat on the bone.
It won't feel as bad if you can return the favor that Louisville did to you twice. Early in the Stoops era, they lose to Syracuse this Saturday. They have to beat Kentucky to be bowl eligible. That's with a win at Duke too. I know Duke stinks, but hell, you never know what you're going to get out of Louisville. So hey, that's on the table. So if you do that, you're going to have fans feeling good. You can go down to Tampa, have yourselves a good time. A little SoFlo Sun in January. It won't be frosty. Scott Frost, Ike Mullen, he's going to get another year. He got his contract restructured. That's one thing that's going to stay the same. He's just going to lose one score games.
Now, Nick, going into this game in the next two, what are you really looking for? What do you want to see Kentucky do?
I want to see what Ja'Tai McClain's got. It'd be nice if you could have Rodriguez be the rushing leader in the SEC. I don't know if that's obtainable or not. With Beatty putting up some pretty solid numbers, that would be a nice feather in your cap to be able to show that off. But really, I just want to see the offense continue to score. I don't want to see another Will Levis regression game because we got that in Mississippi State. We saw what it turned into. But man, it'd be great to keep putting up points. To where, because here's the thing that we're all victims of, the offseason momentum and Kentucky was sub 500 last year, but they won the Gator Bowl and it felt like they won their last two games. And you kind of forget about all the you forgot about that Ole Miss game and the Auburn, Chris Rodriguez in the end zone and doesn't count. That stuff gets put in the rearview mirror if you do finish strong. So keep scoring offensively. Don't have a regression game. Beat U of L and then put up a lot of points against a Big Ten team down in the Outback Bowl because you're probably going to be playing a Michigan State, a Purdue, or a Wisconsin.
Yeah, for me, I want to see keep the Will Levis growth going. You got two bad opponents here defensively. Louisville's not great on defense. Let's stack some games with him, build some confidence for the quarterback. Defensively, play two bad offenses, gain some confidence with your defense, get some good things to happen and get healthy on that side of the ball. If you can do that, I think you're going to be fine. But, I have no idea. I don't know what to expect from the team on Saturday.
Yeah.
I could see it winning 60-3. I could see them it's one possession game in the fourth quarter.
I would much rather that Stoops not happen, hasn't been good especially against the 7 o'clock game,
Stoops yeah, but I think there'll probably be a decent Kentucky contingent down there.
Yeah.
And it'll be a little spicy in there with a night game and tailgate all day, and you can drink beers in a stadium.
What I'm worried about, last time Adam Luckett wasn't in the press box are in game mode. What was it? Belkwell went down to final possession. Needed a Will. What if we need a Will Levis touchdown and you're stuck at a wedding?
Well, thankfully, I'll have a TV so I can watch the game. I won't be on Gamecast again at my desk at work. So thankfully, I'll be watching. But I have no idea what to expect from that. Like I said, like when I looked in the numbers, you feel better because Vandy is really, really bad. But I just don't know what I did expect. Just go down, win, and handle New Mexico State. But, you know, I would feel a lot better if they didn't drop that egg against Chattanooga.
Yeah, yeah. Just
Vandy's coming off a bye week, so you don't know what you're going to see.
Go out there, run it up on them. Let's make it fun. Let's have some fun again. We got to have some fun again as Kentucky fans. It'd be nice if we had some fun watching the Cats beat up on Coach K, that rat face coach from Durham tonight in the Champions Classic. And what's great is that our good friends from Prize Picks, you can win money while watching Kentucky play basketball. It's a great concept. Like tonight, I am feeling really good about Ty Washington over 12.5 points. That feels like a gimme. And if you download the Prize Picks app, or you just walk onto your computer, use the code PERSONNEL, they will double your deposit. You just pick a couple players, pick their over and under, and you parlay them. So you don't even have to get every single one right. You can still get half your money back if you play the flex play. It's a great app, easy, user-friendly. So download it today, deposit with PERSONNEL. We gave you free money last week with some action. I like Ty over 12.5 points. There's not another one that really jumps off in college basketball because it's college.
Well, everybody basketball. I listen to tells me Paolo Banchero is like the truth.
He's 15.5 points. Are we going to go over 15?
I kind of want to fade that.
Fade it? Oh, let's fade it. Let's fade the hell out of Paolo.
But I don't know. If he's like as good, I like the Keon over 10.5. Like, I think he's like Cal's probably going to force feed him throughout the season. Yeah. I'd imagine he's going to average over 10.5 points per game. So take Keon over 10.5.
The only kicker, you have to pick people from different teams. So we've given you a couple that we're kind of liking and feeling. You can figure out the rest. Win big by playing Prize Picks tonight. Play with some action. We've got some of that again tonight. NHL, NBA, NFL. It's all happening on Prize Picks. Download the app. Use the code PERSONNEL. They'll double your deposit up to $100 over at Prize Picks. Luckett, I know we haven't mentioned them as much as we probably should, but the Nevada Wolfpack are a freaking wagon.
Game this week.
Big game. Real big game.
It's for the division title.
Yeah, against San Diego State. Is that correct? See here.
They're four and one in their division. And they're in the same division as San Diego State. Nevada. Now, Fresno State lost last week. Yes. Nevada, that's their only loss on the conference season. So if they win the San Diego State game, they will control their own destiny.
Yeah.
They still got Air Force and Colorado State remaining, aren't easy games, but huge game there in San Diego.
Wolfpack were 3.5-point favorites to open, now 2.5-point dogs. Love that. Love the line swinging heavily in favor. Just really,
and we also got line movement for Kentucky this week. We saw the line movement last week, ended up unfortunately being true.
Mm-hmm.
It's going Kentucky's way more this week, so hopefully that will be a good omen for the Wildcats. Up to 21 after opening at 19. Oh. 21.5 at Circa and FanDuel, so could be going up even more.
Wow, that's definitely noteworthy. I'm trying to think, it is a shame that tonight we're not going to get the pop from the college football playoff rankings. We will get to watch some college football though, in between the basketball games. I will say it has been weird trying to get my brain ready for college basketball watching. Like, even when I watch it tonight, it's going to take me a while to adjust, but the BBN does need a good pick me up here.
Champions Classic is weird because it's like a huge big game and then the teams start playing their soft non-cons for 3-4 weeks. So then you don't really get back into it for a month.
The way I put it, Luckett, is that if you win this game over the next month, you spend time using little things from those bad games against bad teams to convince yourself why your team is really good. Where if you lose this game, when you're watching those games, you're just nitpicking little things to convince yourself why this team is actually bad. Yeah. Kentucky has not won a big game. When was the last time Kentucky won?
That's what I was going to say. Like, Cal's on a pretty bad big game streak because he didn't win any big.
At Arkansas or at Florida? They ended the season at Florida, and Keon missed the game winner, but they tipped. Who was it that tipped it in? Was it EJ freaking Montgomery? My God. That was the last big win, right?
Yeah, I would say. But even that Florida team wasn't like.
They weren't even good. Yeah.
They were like 18 and 12.
That Arkansas team was decent.
But that Arkansas team, they ended up like they were a bubble team because they had a bunch of injuries. So yeah, I mean, you just haven't had a real big win from Cal and Kentucky basketball in a while. So
would be nice. Would be real nice.
Hell, you barely had any wins last year.
You've been in New York City before, Luckett?
No, I've never been.
Me neither. Not a big Apple guy. Big orange guy.
I do want to get to Madison Square Garden though. That's on the Luckett bucket list.
Oh, Luckett's bucket. What else is in Luckett's bucket? Is it Outback Steak in Tampa? Is that on there?
You want to get to Tampa?
Dude, we're going to eat.
We could dip in Tampa, Nick. You could be going there for the bowl game and the SEC tournament a couple months later.
I'm good on SEC tournament down there. But bowl game, I'm going to eat so much Outback Steak that I'm going to give myself a heart attack. Like a self-inflicted, how much Outback will it take to give me an heart attack? Maybe only three meals. Like I don't think it takes a whole lot. Between those, I know they have like the fries that have more calories than any other
food. The steakhouse mac and cheese from Outback is.
It's just every time I see an Outback steak, they quote unquote sear it. And it just looks like a piece of charcoal.
I'm a huge fan of the chains. That's my favorite one. We go to
Over TXRH.
Yeah, for me.
Oh my! No, the blasphemy. Look, yeah,
for sure.
You cannot be from Oklahoma and take Outback over Texas Roadhouse. I do. I know they got one on each. They got one on Bird Valley. Look it. That is so disappointing. I will say the Bloomin' Onion is just undefeated. Yeah. It's a sloppy, delicious mess.
Last top 10 win, Nick, for Kentucky basketball, February 16th, 2019, routed number one Tennessee at home.
Man. So that was Quickly and Co.
Tyler Hero.
Yeah. Houston.
DJ Washington dropped 23.
The Houston Sweet 16 team was technically not a top 10.
They were number 11, it says, in the poll at the time.
Man. Long time. And that's 11 Personnel's college basketball preview. Win some games. Win some games. Man, it's been a rough couple weeks, Luckett, but we're picking ourselves up by our bootstraps. Let's go kick some ass in Nashville. I hope some fans are out there going to enjoy some beers at
Vanderbilt Stadium. They're selling the naming rights. They just announced a couple weeks ago.
About damn time. What are they
11 about? Personnel. Field, Vanderbilt University.
Hey, if y'all are okay, in all sincerity, this is a request of you. If you all are going to the game Saturday, I will not. Dad duty calls. It's a night game. But if you all are going, there's a guy by the name of Donnie Ray. Donnie Ray. He's driven Elvis around. He got punched in the face by Waylon Jennings. I don't remember if it was Waylon Jennings or Merle Haggard. He's a fascinating guy. It's his birthday right around this time every year. And after the catwalk, him and the rest of them boys, their whole crew, the Road Dogs, they will walk to that Wendy's that is right next to there. If you can, go over, sing happy birthday to Donnie Ray. It'll make his day. I don't think he needs a bunch of Frosties, but I'm sure he'll enjoy a Frosty if someone buys. But they're good folks, good people. Wish Donnie Ray a happy birthday and a Go-Cat so we can get this dub down at Vanderbilt.
Happy birthday, Donnie.
Yeah, man. Really, I hate that I haven't seen those guys out this year because, hell, the only road game I went to is Georgia. It's been different, not the same.
Weird game this week. Just take care of business, get some positive momentum, and head into senior day.
This is where you need to lean on your old guys to steer the ship right.
So bring your own juice game for sure. You got to bring the energy.
Yeah, and it would. This is one too. Let's accept the kickoff, go down, score quickly, mm-hmm. and just kind of let the offense. Give the defense because that was something we talked about. It was like, oh, okay, good. The offense is helping the defense some. You need to do that again on Saturday. You need to do that to end the year, to finish the year. You need the offense to help the defense.
Last time they went down there, Nick, too, they fell down. I think it was 14-3. Kicked the field goal first possession. Vandy puts a long drive together. Then an A.J. Rose fumble turns into a scoop and score. So you're down 14-3 early in that game. You don't need that happening Saturday night.
No,
you don't need, like, I think a fast start. Get off the fast start. They're going to be just fine. If you don't, I would worry about just letting them hang in there too long. We've seen Kentucky had turnover issues this year.
Comes a Chattanooga deal again. You know, hang around. Yeah. Don't want that to happen. Don't want that to happen. So let's turn it around. Right the ship this week. Snap the losing streak when Kentucky travels down to Vanderbilt. For Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Rush. We appreciate y'all listening to 11 Personnel each and every week. We'll be back with more next Tuesday. Until then, go Cats and go Kroger.